Before I begin our study this morning, I would like to welcome any new listeners we have this morning. If you are joining us for the first time, The Bible Says is a short 15-minute program, a daily Monday through Friday program that's geared for the exposition or the teaching of the Word of God. And we usually take a book of the Bible and work our way through it verse at a time. And at present, we're working our way through 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. Let me encourage you that if you want to become a repeat listener, that you, to get the most out of it, have a Bible near you, someplace that you can look up the references, or for that matter, it would be nice, it would be ideal if you could follow along with me as we go through the study. It's important that God's people know the Word of God, that they know for themselves what the Scripture says, rather than copping out with answers like, well, my church teaches, or my preacher would say. And oftentimes, in the moment of stress, in the moment when you've got to put up or shut up, the preacher's not handy, and you're not in church, and somebody's at your door, or there's a circumstance in a conversation that you are the expert, or you're the one on the spot, and you need to be able to tell somebody what the Bible says. Now, if you're a Christian, I think you can see the necessity for a good working knowledge of the Scripture. Now, if, on the other hand, you've tuned in and you decided to listen, and you're not a believer, you haven't given your heart to Jesus Christ, you haven't placed your faith in Him, then much of what I'm going to say is going to be, well, it's going to go right over your head. Now, that's not to say that you're ignorant or stupid or anything like that. We're making no comment about your mental prowess. But there are some things that you will not understand simply because, as Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they're spiritually discerned. There will be some things that you will not be able to follow if you haven't given your heart to Christ, simply because, as the Bible says, we are born dead in trespass and in sin. It's not a matter of IQ or brain power. It's a matter that a person, before they accept Christ as Savior, they do not have the faculties. They don't have the equipment to be able to lay hold of spiritual truth. Now that, having said that, let me say this. If you find, when you face the situation, that you have not given your heart to Christ, by all means, let me encourage you to do so. And I hope you realize that if I can be of any assistance to you in this matter, you have questions about how to be saved, or what do I do next, things of that sort, by all means, feel free to contact me, and we'll do everything we can to help you along. At the same time, let me throw this out. From time to time, there are inquiries about these programs, and if you happen to have a question about this, we'd be glad to talk to you individually and clear up any questions. But these programs are being archived so that if you know a particular program you may have missed or that you found to be particularly interesting or helpful to you and you think it'd be of help to somebody else and you'd like a copy of it, we'll be glad to make available to you at cost on audio cassette, or if you like, on CD, the particular programs that you had in mind, or if you would like to order an entire book's study. Now, in all fairness, depending on the book, you may be looking at quite a stack of cassettes, but as I said, if you're interested and you think this would be a benefit to you, or there's somebody that, well, let's face it, maybe somebody in the military that you would like to give them something, send them something overseas, because they're not able to attend services regularly, but you would like to have something, give them something that would put this emphasis on it, by all means, I hope you'll avail yourself of this, and as I said, we'll make it available to you at cost. If you can pay for the cassettes and the shipping, then we'll go ahead and dub them off, okay? All right. You say, oh, by the way, you didn't say how to get in touch with you. If you call the radio station that you're listening to, they'll be able to put you in touch with me, okay? All right, let's turn now to 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. Brethren, Now, anytime you see this word brethren in the New Testament, look at the context. Sometimes it will be a man speaking to his own sibling brothers, okay? They share the same parents. Sometimes it will be an individual speaking to people standing by because they are the same nationality. Brethren, brothers, if they all happen to be Jews or all happen to be Greeks or something of that sort. But when you, in the context, see this word standing by itself, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you. Brethren, in this sense, refers to a Christian brother, one who has been born again, one who has placed his faith in Jesus Christ. Brethren, I write, now this is John, the beloved disciple, writing to other Christians, okay? Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment. I'm not giving you anything new. Chapter 1, you know, in essence, everything in chapter 1, if you're familiar with the scripture. Everything I've said up to this point, there's been nothing new. There's no new shocking revelations, no new truth. No. It's the same old, stuff that you have known right from the beginning. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. You will remember that in a previous broadcast I have mentioned that John emphasizes that if you're going to have fellowship with God, there is also this connection with the Word of God. I said in an earlier broadcast, it is impossible to have fellowship with God and maintain a state of disobedience with the Word of God. Obedience to the Word of God and fellowship with God go hand in glove. You cannot have one without the other. Now it says, the old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, verse 8, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. Let's look at the word darkness in verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past. When you look at the word darkness, the Greek expression means ignorance of divine things, and it's associated with wickedness. Darkness is never, when it's in the abstract like this, is never associated with God's people in a positive sense. It's always with sin. It's always with a sense of wickedness. There's nothing positive you can say about it, okay? Again, a new commandment. You say, what new commandment? He didn't say anything new here in verse 8. No, he didn't in verse 8. He's going to in verse 9, okay? Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Now, if we go to verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. There's a period. Verse 10 ended with a period. Verse 9 ended with a period. Each of these verses is a complete sentence. It can stand independent of anything else. However, since there is a linear progression here, you want to take one after the other. Now, he says in verse 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you. But notice that it is following that old commandment. It's following what he said in verse 7. I'm not writing anything new to you. You've known this, and this commandment is the word, I'm talking about here the scripture, which ye have heard from the beginning. Now, if you knew the Old Testament scripture, and now he's going to write then what he calls in verse 8 a new commandment. He says, a new commandment write I unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. You say, in him, in Christ? And in you. This is going to be true regardless of who it touches. And you'll see here, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Okay? Now, you will remember that if we are going to say that we're walking with him, we're going to walk in the light as he is in the light. Okay? True of him, true of you. Now, back up. Verse 9, he that saith he is in the light. Now, the implication is, if darkness represents that which is associated with wickedness and ignorance of divine things, whether that's the divine will or the commandments, the law, anything having to do with God, ignorance of that, darkness, okay? Now, by contrast, here he's speaking of the light in verse 9. He that saith that he is in the light, that obviously is going to be on the other side of the coin, not associated with wickedness, but rather with godliness. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother. The word hate, to detest, and detests his brother. Now keep it in context here. He, back in verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment, brethren, he's talking to Christians, all right? Now, when he says here, he that saith he is in the light and hates his Christian brother, for that's the implication here in the context, and detests another Christian, is in darkness. Now, we're going back to the ignorance of divine things in association with wickedness, is in darkness even until now. Now, this has no racial overtone, so don't take it that way at all, okay? It is a matter you're either in the light or you're in the darkness. Someone is your brother or he is not. Now, that which constitutes a brother, Jesus, I think, pretty well specified a definition back in the gospel accounts. You remember that he had been speaking, the house was packed, Mary and Jesus' brothers had come to talk to him, and they couldn't get in. They sent word in, and they said, your mother and your brethren are without. They're outside. They want to talk to you. And Jesus said, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? Who are my sisters? Said, even these which keep my words and obey them. Now, he that saith is in the light and detests his brother is in darkness even until now. You'll notice John is very exacting. He doesn't cut any slack for anybody. It either is or is not right. In verse 10, he that loveth, now this word loveth, and you're going to find this throughout the rest of the book, the word love here in this form, loveth, the idea of continual action or habitual, in this case, love. The verb form here that's translated love or loveth comes from a Greek word agape, agapao. This word does not have any human analog. This love does not have any human counterpart. You cannot jack this one up. You cannot manufacture this one. You cannot counterfeit this one. It is there or it is not. If it is there only because God has given it. It comes about only by association with God. It is not some sentimentalism. It's not some, oh, let's just love everybody. He that loves with this divine love, with this superior love, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. I glance at the clock and I see my time is about gone for this edition of The Bible Says. I hope you'll join me tomorrow as we continue our study in 1 John chapter 2. See you then.